CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
The moment I
I met Joyce Adams, I was lost. She had honey blonde hair, green blue cat's eyes, and a body. Wow. I mean, it isn't like talent is anything new to me. It's part of the theater, and theater's all of my life. I guess in the last 15 years since I was like about 18, there hasn't been a legitimate production on Broadway, off or half off, I haven't seen or maybe been part of. And a body is a body, I always figured, until that evening. And little theater here out of an old shoe factory where they were doing Ibsen's Doll's House with George playing Nora with Child West. The shoe was terrible, but like I said, the moment I saw her, I was gone. So, after the show, I talked to him about going down to Phoebe's with me. Oh, that's the off-off Broadway starter, so we could talk. You sure you don't want a real drink?
No. I just love character and soda.
Oh,
okay. I know it isn't good for my figure, but I just love it.
Yeah. Well, so far, I don't think we've done any damage. you want another?
Could I? I don't even know.
Yeah, you really better watch out for me.
Yeah. You wouldn't take me all that much for character and soda. What is this about a part in a real Broadway play?
Oh, it's a shot in the dark, George. All right to call you that?
Mm-hmm. What? What'd you say with George?
Adam. Adam Duncan. You see, right now I'm a nobody. I'm an assistant stage manager and understudy on a production William Lloyd is putting on, The Duke and the Doll. They're looking for an unknown for the part of the doll.
Mm. Isn't that the one with Judson Holmes is going to play the Duke?
That's right. And you would be just perfect for the part of the doll. Looking into those lovely, sweet-green, wide-open eyes, some alarm bell could have sounded somewhere inside me, telling me that this girl only existed from her eyes down, the attic of empty. But I was too gossed out to believe that, and events moved so fast, I didn't have time to think about it. Because she got the part, and she was a smash, even if the show didn't get much in reviews. And anyway, who cares? Because the Sunday of the week we opened, Joyce and I were married and had a 24-hour honeymoon at Atlantic City.
Yeah.
Oh, my adorable wife, you are something else. You're right.
Oh, you are warm. Let's go back to the hotel.
You know, that's the funniest thing. That's just what I had in mind, too. Joyce was like laughing gas. A whiff of her and you were in orbit. The 24 hours passed on cloud 8. And then we were back in New York, and under the influence of another kind of excitement, phone ringing, agents, offers, all the wild madness of overnight success. Oh, not the play. Joyce. And then suddenly, the plum of the year drops right in her lap, the chance to play the sex symbol in the year's hottest film topic.
Honey, they're waiting for us at Barney's. Let's go.
Hey, they can wait. They can wait. We've got to look a few things straight in the face.
My agent has the director meeting me, too, as well as Mr. Jenner, the producer.
Now, just stop a moment to talk to Mr. Adam Duncan, your stage manager and sometime husband.
What do you mean, sometime?
Oh, just a matter of speaking. Honey, you can't go signing for a movie while you're still under a theater contract.
Oh, they don't need me. Mr. Holmes is gone. You can get anybody for me.
Sure. That's why your phone is ringing, and you're getting all the offers while this cockamamie play has no advance, and the only thing that keeps the box office alive is word of mouth about you.
No, I like getting the same thing over and over again. And this is new. This is a movie that I always wanted to do.
Joyce. You just don't know. It's a jungle out there. They eat up little girls like you and stick them down the drain. The theater's something else.
You mean you don't want me to be a star?
I don't want you to get the fever. Nothing comes easy in this business.
Well, I don't know. I've been pretty lucky so far. Anyway, it's what I want to do.
And what kind of money are they talking about?
Well, that's up to you, isn't it?
Yes, and no. I mean, what are you going to live on out there? Can we swing it on our budget?
I live with Janet, of course. My sister, remember?
Well, it isn't exactly the best time to move in with her. I mean, she just lost her husband.
Oh, he was a big mistake.
Mistake or not, I thought your sister Janet was trying to sell the house.
But she hasn't yet. And by the time she gets a buyer, they're going to be rich, and I'm going to be famous. So, Mike, I better start it. I've never been able to go there ever before and feel really important.
So we went to Sardi's and I was a fifth wheel. But Joyce was in seventh heaven. And everything went off like a storybook, and a star was on the way to being born. She was signed, let out of a contract with the Duke and the doll, and off she went to the Golden Compound. And in 6 weeks, the show she left died, and I caught the first plane for the coast. The moment I hit L.A., I headed straight for Chelsea Drive, right off Coldwater Canyon, near the Beverly Canyon Hotel. That was where Mrs. Westry, Joyce's widowed sister, lived. I rang the bell. The door opened. And there was the woman I loved that I'd been aching for the last month and a half. And I gobbled her up in my arms. Oh, baby, oh, darling, my little
Yeah,
you asked the man who lived on less than bread and water.
Listen, crazy man.
We'll listen to nothing but total surrender.
That's marvelous, Adam, except you got the wrong girl.
Oh, don't try to force me off, babe. But tell me you're gone Hollywood. You're my girl, and you better know it.
Oh, no.
Why not?
What?
What?
Oh,
what? Oh, come on, Joyce. What's the rib? What are you giving me? Hey. You're being for real? You're Joyce's sister, but... I mean,
did you keep that here? We had twins.
Yeah, sure. I guess you said twins. I just thought their sister. This is just not possible.
What?
Well, I mean, people look like each other, but here, it's been a few weeks since I saw Joyce. I think I don't know. you're putting me on?
Honestly, I'm not.
I should have known. Actually, you don't sound anything like each other.
Oh, I'm the second fiddle.
No. I didn't mean that. You have a lovely voice.
Thank you.
And obviously, you're the loveliest looking woman I've ever known, since I can't tell you from my wife.
Well, I'm sure you'll find enough distances between us so you won't be confused.
And yet, how pathetic was the truth to be. Meeting Joyce later that day when she came back from the studio was weird. I mean, I was acutely aware of the differences. And not just only in the sound of the voice.
It's a draw, but it's exciting, too. I mean, I just get those fly out. I mean, I am pooped. Oh, you're going to lie down and sleep.
Yeah, well, I'm glad my arrival is giving you such a lift.
Honey, you know I'm glad to see you. I'm so tired.
Okay, so you're tired.
No, you're mad at me.
I'm not mad. You just don't seem exactly spaced out that I'm back with you again.
Oh, don't you worry about that, baby, too. Your little voice loves you all, too. Oh, let me just pop a pet pill. And I'll have a bath. And then I'll show you just how much. When I'm number one man in the cellar. And that big daddy. And don't you ever think for one minute I'd ever let you go.
Who wants to go? I just arrived.
I'm never going to let you go, Joyce. I'm never going to be without you. I'm just going to hang around you like a little old auntie around your neck. I love you, honey. I need you. And the only way you'll ever be rid of your baby doll is for me to die. If you ever wanted to walk out on me, you'd have to throw me first.
I smothered that kind of crazy talk with a kiss. Only the terrible thing was that as I held George, felt her move against me in all the old exciting ways. Behind my closed eyes, the face and the body was the same. But my ears were remembering that low, musical voice of Janice's. Her even, steady, amused, and gentle sureness. And the impression I'd gotten of a strong and subtle intelligence. Joyce's twin. Identical in appearance, but so earlier in place, I felt her sister and insistent and terribly a phrase was ringing in my head in Joyce's simply phony, jangling baby doll voice. If you ever wanted to walk out on me, you'd have to kill me first.
What would it be like, you suppose, to fall in love with a woman and then find that she wasn't the only one of her kind? And if you liked the second image better, could you change partners? Or would the desire to do that lead you to incredible lengths that you could never dream of? I shall return shortly with that too.
Satisfaction.
for my immortal soul. And something very special for tonight. The producer can't use them, and he gave them to me.
So do you what?
Our two tickets for Romeo and Juliet.
Shakespeare? Come on, baby, I'm tired. Anyway, you made me sit through that play once. I thought it would never end.
Oh, no, this isn't a play. It's a ballet. With the Tchaikovsky music.
Oh, but... you've got to be kidding. Ballet? That really bores me out of my gourd.
It's just champagne in Australia.
Who?
Joyce, they're the top dancers in the world.
Okay, honey. If it's all that important, why don't you take dance? We just want some tea. Mary Sarah has a special on tonight. I just don't want to mess up.
That lock, Thomas.
Hey, Jack, excuse me. I mean, he really lays me out. Oh, I know you don't go for him. He takes you onto the bar. Look, if it was any other woman, I wouldn't let you out of the door. But I know your face is Jack.
That was the whole trouble. I wasn't safe with Jack at all. Nor would she be very safe with me. I guess that's the only reason she was with me that night. Because on the way home after turning off Sunset on the cold water, just as we came to Chelsea Drive, she said,
"Don't tell me, I'm just keep going."
Where?
To the next place. Under the address, driver. Oh, take the light.
Why here?
There we are.
Okay.
Cut the light. We've got to talk about Colonel Dexter and Colonel Stokes. Particularly after tonight.
It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yes.
Maybe that's the greatest thing about ballet. No words needed. I guess.
It's what we have to talk about.
We don't need any words to tell each other that.
I don't know.
some
As long as she lives, I promised myself I would never do anything, even to hurt her.
And just the same, got into bed. But it was a long time before I could get to sleep. Usually I have to wake and turn off the alarm in the morning. But this morning, Joyce actually got to it first. While she was in the bathroom getting ready for the studio car to pick her up, I lay in a half daze.
When did you come in? I'm late.
I thought you had the day off.
Oh, I did, and then there was something the matter with one of the wheels that stormed yesterday. We got a
re-suit. Oh, you want me to get you some breakfast?
No, I haven't time. I've got it on the set. Oh, how was last night?
I was heaven. You should have been there.
If I'm not me. That ballet scene needed me cash. So how did you and John get along?
Oh, you know how I get along with your sister. I love her.
My twin sister.
Don't have to be told out. Tough enough to tell you apart.
Yeah. That's kind of like why I brought the subject up. See, we're strange. Awful strange, Adam. People like me and John. They're special vibes and no ordinary person could know just how special.
That's bad.
No. Most of the times it's good. I wouldn't want them ever to be bad. But you see, sometimes I get screwy ideas. I know I'm not all that bright. I try to forget I have them, but I had this dream last night, and I want to tell you something.
You're with me?
No, just about it. I mean, and I know it was way out, but it made me think, what if you should like John better than me?
George, I'm your husband.
Well, I'll put it another way. If anything happened to me, would you turn to John?
Well, how can I answer a question like that?
You don't have to. I will. I'm going to tell you. Just let me put it this way. If I ever lost you anywhere to anyone, you know something?
What?
You'd never get anything from it. Because you can't ever get rid of me. Alive or dead, I'm going to haunt you the rest of my life. How's that for the crazy? Yeah, I love you, Adam Johnson. Keep the home fires burning.
The things that people think. It was all clear as glass. Joyce, the clinging vine who would never leave me. Dan, the woman I loved, who would never have anything to do with me as long as Joyce was alive. A simple enough equation. The only escape was for Joyce to die. But how? Would I have the nerve? And how could I get away with it? Who are any of us to criticize? Haven't we all, in anger, despair, or frustration, uttered threats, sometimes out loud, or perhaps only in the mind, that were not enough to kill someone, or you drive me so crazy I could murder you? But of course, none of us ever did anything about it. Will Adam Duncan? I'll return shortly with Act Two. WDBM Chicago. Adam Duncan is now convinced that he can never have Janet unless Joyce is dead. And equally convinced that the same is true unless death seems incontrovertibly accidental. And agonizing weeks for him as the day of Janet is about to draw closer and closer, and he has still not solved the how of Joyce's death. Now, at the last moment, he feels he has. And I'm only going to be omniscient enough to tell you that as far as the police are concerned, he could get away with it.
Mother!
Adam, John. Hey, what's all this?
I didn't expect you home in the middle of the day. Just stuff I'm getting ready to move out.
Oh?
End of the week.
Does Joyce know about this?
Of course.
Well, you might have told me. I guess we'll have to find somewhere else to live.
Oh, you know, the house is yours.
I can't afford it.
Joyce can. Because I can. There wasn't much in my marriage with Jim, but he did leave me more money than I'll ever need, so the house is yours.
It isn't a house I care about. It's who is in it.
Well, we've solved that question. You and Jim.
And if there couldn't be a Jim?
Then there's no. What can we do, Adam? But leave it at that.
That really should have settled it. But I wasn't willing to let it go at that. Suddenly I knew how to get away with it. It was just a matter of timing. In all the hours I sat and thought about it, the best thing I had going was habit. A meticulous director who bent over backwards never to work into overtime. A wife who felt it necessary to soak herself in a bubble bath every night and to drown herself in cheap rock music. The factor of time. And a cocktail party where I was going to be highly visible at the big hotel on Wilshire Boulevard. That involved Janice as well. When it came, as Shakespeare says, to the sticking point, it was really all so simple. One tube was all I had to take out of that sybilitic bathroom radio set.
Who's that?
Adam.
Come on in, baby.
No radio?
No. It can't stop. Something wasn't working. What can you
hear so in? I sneaked out. Must have been clairvoyant. Look what I had for you.
Oh, poor
little
woman. Now, how did you know I needed our lift?
Oh, let's just call it ESP. Plug this in first.
Got
your
key? Yeah. Hey, that's Hindenburg in the satellite. Man, that is wrong.
Forget it. What we're doing is we're doing well. You go for this, don't you?
My kind of music.
You take it over Tchaikovsky?
Yes. Does it matter all that much?
No, Joyce. Nothing with us would ever matter that much. Or anything. Here. Take it all, baby.
What's dangerous?
We've been living dangerously, baby, and you give me no way out. I don't know what I really expected. Probably the last thing that it would be all so easy. The easy walk through the shrubbery to the Ellsworth driveway, seeing my car up unseen and driving to meet Janet as if nothing had happened, right on the dotted strip, as was planned. There's plenty of people to see us at that specific hour. While back in the bathroom, portable clock radio lay in the bathtub as dead as the woman was stood, its hands recording the time of her death at 16 minutes after 6, the moment the short circuit had stopped the radio. And
Joyce. What do you suppose Joyce is?
It's me. I came straight over from my agent's office.
Did you call before you left?
Sure. I thought maybe I could pick her up. She said she'd just gotten home and would come over by herself, so I headed straight here.
Maybe you ought to give her a ring. She might have fallen asleep.
Well, let's see. 6:45, maybe the office. We went through the mockery of a call to a woman long dead, but who was to appear as having just died in the subsequent police investigation. The timing was perfect. The alibi unassailable. The verdict? Death through misadventure. And I was free. As was Janet. The only problem in the way of our future together was to bide our time. I should say my time, since Janet was no part of what I'd done. I had bought our future. I simply had to wait a little while for delivery, I thought.
Yes? I really don't think it's a very good time to speak to your husband. Yes, Mr. Duncan is here, but it's just a time for the funeral. Hold on, just a moment, please.
Yes, Miss Bonner. Yeah, I understand. Sure, I see your problem. Well, not right at the moment, but well, by Monday, after the weekend, I might be able to make more sense. Is that everybody? Oh, sure. Yeah, it's very kind of you. Yes, it has been a sad loss. Thank you.
Thank That was Joseph's producer, wasn't it?
Yes. Duel.
What do you mean?
Well, that's what I said. Another in the general school of Barracuda. And he's got a major film over three quarters completed. Without Joyce, he's got about $3-4 million of film. He might as well dump in the sea. Very nice. Unless.
Unless what?
Do I have to tell you?
Not me, Adam. I'm not an actress. I've got nothing to offer them.
You're the only person in the world nobody could tell apart from Joyce.
But you yourself. I mean, you know, I don't sound anything like her.
Oh, thank God. Well, that's a trick you could learn. I could teach you.
No, that's all. I don't care about you, Mr. Bonner, or his old picture. Let him worry about it.
Sure, sure, of course. But, well, it is a lousy break for him. I mean, what happened to Joyce, and could mean a lot to our future.
Our future?
Well, I hope after this is all over, we are going to have one.
I'm scared. How can I make anyone else understand? It hasn't been, there hasn't been the other half of someone else.
The other is dead.
Don't make it sound so cruel.
I didn't mean to. But the way things are, except for Bonner.
Bonner?
The film. Now look, would you be willing to complete it if I helped you?
Oh, well, Adam, if it's what you want, and it's right for us.
Oh, I was a mastermind. I held all the strings in my hand. I knew just what I was doing, and I was invincible. But what I offered a lost director and a sonic producer with a $3-4 million bomb on his hand, I was set for life. If I could only teach Janice to sound as much like Joyce as she looked. It was a dream. Joyce's voice in my ear. Sure, I had been recalling it, but in memory, not in actuality. As I awoke, I was thinking, Joyce, is that you? You're dead. Joyce was dead. I had gotten rid of her. How could she be alive?
But, darling, I don't want to get excited or anything.
I'll look out for you, baby.
And all the other things you promised me?
It goes with the job, too.
A penthouse apartment? Mint? No, Sable? And one of them long cars with a chauffeur?
Anything you want, sweetheart, so long as you pay the price.
What's the price?
You never know that till someone hands you the bill. Hey, John, this is great.
But I can stand like my kid's sister.
Yeah, like in the flesh.
Yeah, she wouldn't put it that way. She was dead, you know.
Yes, I guess I ought to.
But sometimes I wonder if she did. Look, if it means so much. Yes, I'll fill in and finish the movie, but after that, I only want to be myself.
Most people don't know the tedium, the endless amount of takes, the close-ups, the medium shots, and of course the master shots that cover everything. It would be hard to explain to the average person that a simple phrase like, I love you, might have to be repeated again and again, maybe 20, 30, 40 times. And not necessarily the way you might want to say it yourself, but patterned and inflected just as a director, the producer, the power behind the camera might dictate. And so, for 6 or 7 endless weeks, Janice submitted herself to the forces which had shaped her twin sister. And finally, the picture was over, and she came home. Hey, today was a wrap?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, Jan. What a relief.
You're really all that happy, sweetie pie.
Of course. Now you don't have to sound like Joyce anymore. You can be yourself.
I can be what?
Yourself, Janice. The woman I love.
But I am the woman you love.
Come on, Janice, knock it off. You don't have to sound like a silly petite of
you. You mean the woman you married?
I mean the woman I married the second time.
Huh?
Come on, honey, what are you doing to me? I married Joyce, which was a mistake, and I married you, which was the best thing I ever did in my life.
Are you so sure? I mean, baby, baby, you love me all that much?
Okay, cut it out.
Janet?
Are you all right?
Well, that's the question you could be asking yourself, lover. Which of us would you really marry, and which of us would you kill?
What?
You're not right at the time. There's only yes to prove it. No one else could understand. Whatever happens to one strikes a miracle in the other.
You know?
Now look, darling. Why do you look so confident?
I don't know what to say. I don't even know who you are.
Your wife. I can answer that.
I know, but which...
It won't be interesting for you to try to figure out. I mean, since I have the money, where can you run?
No.
Whatever you paid into this marriage, I promise you, you'll get exactly what you bought. So think of me as I am, big lover. As you made me. Because I'm yours. So just do us part.
Quite recently, there was a disturbance on the Golden Gate Bridge. A man had climbed into the superstructure with the object of committing suicide. Despite heroic efforts by the police, the man, an unemployed member of several theatrical unions, plunged to his death. He was identified by his wife, a resident of Los Angeles, as Adam Lincoln. I'll be back shortly.
Of a medication that helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. It's doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H. Hundreds of tests prove that in many cases, Preparation H gives prompt temporary relief of occasional pain and itch and helps shrink swollen, inflamed hemorrhoidal tissues. Preparation H, ointment or suppository, used only as directed. Doctor-tested, hospital-tested Preparation H helps shrink swollen hemorrhoidal tissues.
If your attic has less than 6 inches of insulation on the floor, you're being robbed every day without ever knowing it. To stop the under-insulation robbers and possibly save up to 30% on the cost of fuel to heat and cool your home, inspect your attic. Then see your neighborhood CertainTeed building materials dealer or insulation contractor. CertainTeed fiberglass attic insulation will stop that robber once and for all.
Thing to dwell on is how few. Oh, now I must search for a careful word. What could it be? Well, let's settle for an old-fashioned word. Rotters, no goodies. Anyway, human beings with nothing much to recommend them get away with murder. Or do they? Certainly not in my story. They always have to pay when it Feldes and Paul Heck. The entire production is under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant.